Welcome to episode 55 of On the Other Hand, 10 Minutes of Torah, a podcast presented by ReformJudaism.org. Each week, we continue to reflect on more than 2,000 years of Jewish wisdom in just 10 minutes, with modern-day commentary on the weekly Torah portion. Of course, we do think there are plenty of ways to interpret Torah, and we want to hear what you think. So talk to us on Twitter. Our handle is @ReformJudaism. Like us at facebook.com/ReformJudaism, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. This week, Rabbi Rick Jacobs, the president of the Union for Reform Judaism, teaches us about Parshat Bishlach. He wonders when you have taken a shortcut and how it feels, and how easy it is to miss the miraculous in the world.
This week, we turn our attention to one of the most celebrated and glorious Torah portions in the five books of Moses, Parshat Bishlach. It contains within it the parting of the Red Sea, the Jewish people going through that sea into the next chapter, into the next part of the journey. I wanted to begin by focusing on the opening few verses, which are quite powerful, but very often overlooked because we're in a hurry to get to the big drama. I mean, who wants to do this little drama at the beginning? I mean, the big deal is the Red Sea and what happens there. But the opening of the parasha says that that on the journey through to the promised land, that the Israelites didn't take Eretz Plishtim, Kikarov. They didn't take the shortcut, and there was a shortcut. If you've ever been to that region, you could go from the area where the Israelites encamped to what we call the Promised Land, the Land of Canaan. It might have taken 10 days, 2 weeks at the most if you walked. And we know that because one of the pharaohs made that journey in 10 days. It's 150 miles. But the Torah starts off by saying they didn't go the shortcut because they can't take the shortcut. And then the commentators, those great sages of medieval Jewish life, go into full mode of interpretation. Why didn't they take the shortcut? I mean, why do 40 years when they could have done 2 weeks? Doesn't make sense. And the answer, according to Rashi, is that if they had gone the shortcut, they would have been quickly not only leaving, but arriving, and they would have been just as quick in turning around and going back. Another great commentator worries that that basically the route was short because if they had gone the long way, they would have seen all of the different challenges. But Maimonides answers the question the most thoughtful way. Why could they not take the shortcut? Maimonides says they weren't ready. They simply had inside of them what it meant to be a slave. They didn't have inside of them what it meant to be free people. So if they'd gone the shortcut, they would not have been ready. And so the whole opening frame is that in life very often we want to find that shortcut. You know, can I find the shortcut to enlightenment? You know, you have all these stories, you know, someone goes to the Rebbe, can you teach me the whole Torah while I stand on one foot? Can I get my rabbinical degree in the next couple of hours? Could you give me the whole essence quickly so I don't have to go through all this painful, long, drawn out? For the things that are most important in life, we all know the answer. There's no shortcut. You have to grow through them. You have to wrestle with them. And the opening of the parsha is a great reminder that when it comes to the changing of the consciousness of a people, that's going to change the consciousness of the world. There is no instantaneous shortcut that can be taken. It's a deliberate, it's a challenging, it's a critical journey that we take in life. What's also amazing, as the Israelites are hurriedly leaving Egypt, Moses remembers a commitment that was made that that Joseph's bones, the Atzamot Yosef, would not be left behind. It's one of the promises that they're going to bring the bones of this great leader named Joseph, bring those bones with the Israelites when they leave, and plant them in the soil of the land of Israel. So you imagine people chaotically grabbing things, getting ready, quickly having to rush out of the country. And someone saying, wait a minute, we have a promise to keep. we have the memory and the remains of our great sage Joseph, and they carry that with them. So I think there's a great teaching there for all of us, that we, on each of our journeys, we carry the wisdom, not just the actual bones. The word etzem means essence as well as bone. The essence of the people who went before us, we carry them with us, and they help us go to the next chapter of our lives. So the most amazing moment maybe in all of the Torah, I know I say that a lot because it's true a lot, but this is really true, is the moment they get to the Sea of Reeds, and there's Moses and the Jewish people. They're gathered on the shores of the Red Sea, and then they look and they see that Pharaoh's army is chasing them. So they've got the sea in front of them, they got Pharaoh's army behind them, and they have a deficit of faith and confidence. And the people start crying out to Moses, do something, do something. And Moses is pretty caught in that moment. And, the commentary is, Matitzak Eli, you know, God's saying to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Do something. You're a Jewish leader. You're standing there. You've got your staff in your hand. You've got your people with you. Do something. It's not a time for prayer. It's a time for action. Well, the Midrash goes into full action, which is while everybody's debating, you know, do we go forward? Do we wait? Do we pray? Do we give up? Do we go back? This one guy, Nachshon ben Aminadav, from the tribe of Judah, he doesn't know how to swim, but he is filled with the confidence of that moment, and he goes into the water. And he starts walking in, and he has no sense of what's going to happen, but he is so confident that God is with him that he walks in, and literally as he's getting to the point where the water is coming up over his mouth and it's going to come up over his nose, that's when God sees the faithfulness of the Israelites, and that's the moment when the seas part. It's a beautiful dilemma for all of us in religious life. What part of our lives is somehow the unfolding of God's plan and God's work, and what is dependent on our action and our agency in the world? And there's a delicate balance. You know, oftentimes people who are secular think that it's all me. You know, I created the world, I created my reality, I created all that's good, and you know, I can let go of the other things. Sometimes the religious world is that God's responsible for everything, but our tradition actually thinks that we have moral agency and the ability to make decisions, wrong and right, and it's powerful. I want to just give you another one of these great midrashim. It's that moment where the Jewish people are walking through the Red Sea, and these two guys, Shimon and Reuven, are walking through, and they're just disgusted that it's muddy, it's dirty. There's a miracle going on all around them. The sea is parted. The people are going from freedom. And these guys, all they can do is kvetch. You know, ugh, you look at the mud. My sandals are getting ruined. And, you know, how typical is that of so many of us in our lives? You know, we're living through something absolutely spectacular. But we end up, you know, focusing on, well, you know, that could have been a little bit better. I went on a vacation and, you know, our flight was delayed. I know that's a very low-level comparison, but the ability to actually be in a moment of just incredible blessing and even miracle, and to be fully present in that moment. These two guys that the Midrash talks about, they weren't actually in that moment. They were inside themselves. And I don't know, if you listened to last week's podcast, I raised the question about miracles altogether. But I know that we live through things that are truly spectacular, and a lot of us don't get the enjoyment and the beauty and the fulfillment because we're focused oftentimes on the thing that's not just perfect. So as we think about this story, we think about how it is that we're not taking the shortcut through our lives to find the deeper meaning and the deeper purpose and the deeper impact. We're going sometimes what looks like a convoluted, roundabout way. The biblical narrative, 40 years, it's a long way to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. But they're not just getting geographically from one place to another. They're getting from one stage of their being to a next stage. And that takes time. It takes courage. Like Nachshon, sometimes it takes a lot of intestinal fortitude. And then, like Reuven and Shimon, it takes the ability to enjoy the journey, not just worry about, are we almost there yet? But each step on that journey, a discovery. Each step, a moment of opportunity, a moment of appreciation. It's almost impossible to live our lives that way. Parshat B'Shalach reminds us that's the goal.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of On the Other Hand, 10 Minutes of Torah. If you liked what you heard today, and we hope you did, you can find new episodes each week at reformjudaism.org and on iTunes, where we would love for you to rate and review us. And you can visit reformjudaism.org to learn more about all aspects of Judaism, including rituals, culture, holidays, and more. On the Other Hand, 10 Minutes of Torah is a project of the Union for Reform Judaism, a leading voice in the discussion of modern Jewish life. Until next week, Lehitraot!